today we're going to hack out a little bit, just some of the things that there are to hack over here in the beginning of the Mishnah. Sunday, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to get into the Rashi and the Tosfos. Monday, hopefully, there'll be a Shir Klali. And then Tuesday, you know, we'll be knee-deep in Meseches Pesachim. Let's start off, Be'ez Hashem, Mitzvah Dishmaya. The Masechta starts Or La'arbasar. Or La'arbasar, it ends up being a very big machloikas. What does it mean? Or La'arbasar, we spend many amudim figuring out what does it mean, Or La'arbasar. Which means at the time of Or La'arbasar, what does Or La'arbasar mean? Most people, if you would ask them to read it, they would probably say, I mean, if you just ask them to translate words, what does Or mean?
Light.
So would that mean the morning or the night?
Morning.
I mean morning. Most people, if you just ask them translate, yeah, but that we know that that's not the case. See, the Gemara speaks about some of Farshim even say that no, everyone knows it's not morning. Even the Mandarim that says morning knows it's not morning. We just try like figure it out. Because what makes sense? When you boidek l'or haner? At night. That's really what makes more sense. But there's going to be a big machlekes about it. It's interesting. Why does the Masechta start off with such a word of or? So the Gemara is going to end up saying, we want to use a refined language. We want to speak dignified. Dignified. Or La'arbasar is a more dignified way than speaking than Leil Arbasar. We all know it's going to end up being Laila, right? We're going to get to, the Gemara is going to get to that conclusion eventually, but we all know that that's where we're going to get to. So why don't we just say Leil Arbasar? So the Gemara says, it's not a Lishna Ma'aliyah. Mishna Aliyah means, you know, a person speaks a certain dignity. You know, there's, if you ever want to read the book about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's called Rebbe, it's written by Tlushkin. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very careful not to say words that were anything that was derogatory or anything that was critical. He even wouldn't even say the word Beit Cholim. Beit Cholim means the house of the sick. What would he call it? Beit Refuah. It's a house of healing. Why are you calling it Beit Cholim? Why are you talking about people being sick? It's a house of, and he's right. Why? It's a very strange thing. Should be called Beit Refuah. Why is it called Beit Cholim? Someone who's pessimistic or negative gave it the name Beit Cholim.
What's wrong with night?
Night, bad things happen at night. Bad things. I'm happy that you're so pure that you don't know about the bad things that happen at night. But Yitzharas come out at night. Mazikim come out at night. Shadim come out at night. Night is not. It's dark. Things of dark. Nightmares. Things like that. So. Nightmares and daydreams. You know what I mean? Days dreaming, nights, you know what I mean? So, you see, you might even say, oh, come on. We want to be so careful to use like just like a pristine, refined. Why in this Masechta? There's plenty of other Masechtas that don't, you know, aren't. Maseches Pesachim, we want to start out like so carefully the way we speak. So, it's a safer. I don't remember. I think his name is Rav Ginsburg. He's from Tells, Cleveland. Anyone here know people in Tells, Cleveland? You know, is there Rav Ginsburg in Tells, Cleveland? You'll find out. He writes this. He has this marocha. I think I saw it 15 years ago, last time I said shir, which is as follows. He writes that what was happening in Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? Pesachim is really Masechta, which is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, I mean, about the celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, Klal Yisrael, the Zohar tells us something interesting, that the Dibor was in Galus. When Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, the Dibor was in Galus. What exactly that means, maybe we'll spend some time, a different time, talking about it. But the Maral says, you never see that Klal Yisrael was in Mispaltash and Vayizaku, they cried, Vayonchu, they groaned. It doesn't say they davened, because they're Koyach of Dibor. There was something. Paroi is Rosh Yeteva's Pera. Pera is bad mouth. Klal Yisrael had a bad mouth. Something wrong with their Koyach HaDibor. As a matter of fact, Mashiach Shel Yisrael, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, had one flaw. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's flaw?
Lisp.
He was a Ra'al Peh, Zichvad Peh. He couldn't talk. Why? There was something wrong with the Koyach HaDibor of Klal Yisrael. There was something, it was like imperfect. And when Klal Yisrael, when they went out of Mitzrayim, what happened was the Dibor came out of Galus. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but it says, Eilu advar mashu Dibor Moshe, says the Medrash, V'chi Moshe medaber hu. Moshe is like he's an orator. It says Moshe was Nisrape, when they came out of Mitzrayim. In other words, there was a correction in the Koyach HaDibor. So Maseches Pesachim is the Masechta, where we're going to be so careful about the way we speak. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is, there's a correction in the Koyach HaDibor. It's not the Pe-Ra, it's the Pesach. Pesach means Pesach, right? Pesach means the mouth speaks. What's a refined way to speak? What's a nice way to speak? What's an exalted way to speak? It's an elevated way to speak. That's our Larabas. You speak about light, don't speak about darkness. This is what perhaps why our Masechta in particular teaches us this message. We know that every Masechta, there are certain messages that are appropriate. The message for Pesachim, says Rabbi Ginsburg from Cleveland, we'll find out what his name is. I'm pretty sure his name is Rabbi Ginsburg.
Mordechai
Ginsburg?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
Is this idea of having a refined way of speaking. Therefore, the Masechta starts with the word Or La'arba Asar. The light of the 14th, Baitkin Esachometz. So many of the Medaikim make this diuk, Rabbi say. This is a very Lamdish Yeshivish diuk. What does it mean, Baitkin Esachometz? What is a person Baitik? Is Baitik the Chometz? If you would just think in English, a person, I have to do B'dika on my house. Baitkin Esachometz. What does it mean, Baitken es hachometz? What does it mean, Baitken es hachometz? Baitken es habayis. Now, there's a whole discussion, right? What happens if a person doesn't have a house? What happens if a person's a renter? Does a person have to check? Let's say a person, doesn't live in a house. Does he have a chiyuv bedika? Or is it a din in the bayis? It's an interesting choice. Baitken es hachometz? You're Baitken es HaBayis. Why does it say Baitken es HaChometz? The Medayik can make this diik. We have to see what we can do with this diik, where we could go. But it's an interesting lashon that the Mishnah chooses. Baitken es HaChometz Le'or HaNer. Ner means a candle. Now, this is something which hopefully maybe we could speak about later. Bizman Azeh, I don't know about what you do. If people use candles, candles are not so practical anymore. Flashlights are much better than candles. Should a person use a candle, Bizman Hazeh, or not? Well, what's the idea of using a candle? Anyone know? What? Why a candle? Why don't you use...
Check more carefully.
Well, you could check carefully with a candle as opposed to, let's say, a torch. The Gemara says you should use a candle, not a torch. Why not? If you have a torch, you're not going to be able to get like into the cracks because you bring a torch there, the whole house will burn down. Yeah, the candle, you could get it really close. But I don't know about you, but at least me, candles are not so convenient nowadays. I'll do much better with a flashlight than with a candle. Right? Because the candles, they drip. You don't want it to drip on your carpet or something. I don't know. Personally, I'd feel like I do a much better job with a flashlight than with a candle. But the mice of the Gemara learns out from a pasuk to use a candle. If you take a look, the Gemara says on daf Zayin Amid Beis, take a look over there for a second. On the bottom of Zayin Amid Beis, says the Gemara, two dots, Lo'ora ner mino ani mili, Amar Rav Chisda, Lamadnu metzia mi metzia metzia mechipas chipas mechipas chipas mineros neros miner. And that's it. So we have this, the Gemara has this whole, like, this chain. You're going to use chippas from chippas, and we start out with this idea of you have to chippas, you have to do ner, and the Gemara learns out that eventually ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Now there might be Kabbalistic ideas of why it's right to use a ner because ner Hashem is nishmas Adam, and chometz is the Yetzirah, and you have to use the ner, and you have to get rid of the Yetzirah, and it could be all different types of reasons. On the other hand, you look at the bottom line of the Gemara, Mamish, the bottom line, the Zayin Amid Beis, Tanur Rabbanan, Loi Ein Boitkin, Loi Lor Acham, Loi Lor Avon, Loi Lor Avuka. Don't use the sun, don't use the moon, don't use a torch. El Lor Haner Mipnei, She Or Haner Yafa LeBedika. Because Or Haner is better for Bedika. It sounds like you're using the Or Haner because it's practically the most effective. What would happen if there would be an invention that would be more effective than the Or HaNer from this Gemara? What does it sound like? You should. So I think flashlights are more effective. I'm pretty confident of that. I think you'd all probably agree with me, right? So on the other hand, the Gemara says, but you learn from Pesukim, Chippas Mechippas, Chippas Mener, Sneres Mener. So you have to know, is this like a real gzera? So what I do personally in my house is we start off with a candle, but we quickly switch over to a flashlight, because practically, if you want to do bedikah properly, I think the best way to do it is really with a flashlight nowadays. So we have to know what's the significance of ner and how prominent of a place it plays really in the bedikas chametz. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Komokom Shem Achnisa V'Chametz Ein Tzorach Bedika. Anywhere where a person doesn't bring chametz, doesn't he bedika? By Me Amru Beis Shuras B'Martev. If that's the case, so why are we saying Beis Shuras B'Martev? If you don't need bedika, so what are you checking in a wine cellar for? People don't bring bread into a wine cellar. Answers the Gemara, Mokom Shem Achnisa V'Chametz. Now the way I understand the Gemara is that this is telling you there's two different types of martefs. There's one martef which is a martef which is only used for aging. A martev is a wine cellar. There's a wine cellar which is used for aging. And then there's a wine cellar which is also used for servicing the meal. So what would happen if a person is in the middle of a meal, Shamash is going to go get a bottle of wine. If it's a wine cellar used for aging, no one goes down in the middle of the meal. There'll never be chametz there. But if it's a type of wine cellar a person uses also for servicing the table, then it could be it does. Beshame or me beishuras alpenei kol hamartech. Beisil or me beishuras achitzayne shein el yoynes. Achogus beshame beisil. Usually people don't get to that because, you know, the Gemara doesn't see that till much later. But it's machogus beshame beisil about how to do bedika, how much you have to check. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Or la arbasar gar sinan. Now there are three girsas here in Rashi. One is Or le arbasar. Another one is, what are the other uses? Le'or arba asar and or arba asar. Either le'or arba asar or le'ar ba asar. I think the Miri says it doesn't make a difference, if I'm not mistaken, correct? The Ran says it doesn't make a difference? Doesn't make a difference. Rashi seems to emphasize or le'ar ba asar garsin. It sounds like Rashi does prefer that girsa over the other girsas. But that's what it seems to be, the girsa in front of us. Or le'ar basar, Rashi says, le'or haner, b'gemara mefarish taima. Interesting. That's out of order. The next Rashi says, boidkin. Rashi's out of order. Why does Rashi say first, or le'or haner? The order of the gemara is, or le'ar basar, boidkin, it's a chametz le'or haner. Rashi, for some reason, he puts the Rashi of le'or haner before the word boitkin. Now, this Rashi of boitkin, by the way, is going to be a super controversial Rashi. So I wonder if Rashi intentionally put that other Rashi first to preempt. He knows a storm is coming, Rashi. So maybe Rashi purposely put that other Rashi first. Rashi can do that because we're about to step into a storm. Rashi says, boitkin shelo yavar Bibal yira, bibal yimatze. Rashi says, "Boidkin, you check in order not to be over on bal yira, bal yimatze." And here, Tosfos, the Ran, the Rishonim have an issue with Rashi. Is that why we do bedikas chametz? Says Tosfos, "I don't think so." So, we'll have to see. Well, you know, what all the kashas on Tosfos, the Ran speaks about it also. So machlokas Tosfos, there's different nuances in the Ran and Tosfos how to deal with it. But this is a major discussion. Rashi says we do bedikas chametz in order not to be oiver on bal yira bal yimatzeh. Another thing Rashi does not say, which we'll speak about, is you do bedikah in order to be mekayim mitzvahs tashvisu. So one of the things which we're going to have to figure out, and I gave you over here the minchas chinuch, this is a vintage minchas chinuch, classic minchas chinuch, and to figure out the relationship between these two things. We have a lav of not having chametz. What's that lav? Bal yira, bal yimatzeh. And we have a mitzvah asay to get rid of chametz. What's that? Tashbisu. We have to figure out what the relationship between those two are. What? The pasuk says, thank you for asking, ach beyoyim harishoin tashbisu sa'ar mi batechem. we have to discuss what is sa'ar, what's chametz. There's a lot of things which I would love to clarify. Maybe we'll do more on Sunday when we have the time. But tashbisu, there's different ways to translate it. But it comes from the shayrish of the word Shabbos. Or, well, how do we translate Shabbos? Rest, or give me a better word than rest for chametz. What's a better word?
Refrain, stop.
Tashbisu sa'ar, stop having chametz in your house. Okay, right? I mean, literally, we think of it as Shabbos as rest, but stop having chametz in your house. So there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah. I mean, it depends how you look at bayirah or bayimatzeh, if that's one or two. There's one pasuk says lo yirah, another pasuk says lo yimatzeh. We call it bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, but there's lo yirah, lo yimatzeh. Those are lavs. There's an asay. The asay is tashbisu. Tashbisu means don't have, or maybe get rid of it. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see. That's the minchas chinuch. That is the vintage minchas chinuch. I could jump into the chinuch because we already like started talking about it, I guess. The chinuch wants to know, what is the nature of the mitzvah tashbisu? If you translate it literally, what does it mean? Stop, refrain. Would you say that's active or passive? Sounds passive. Refrain from having chametz. However, if you translate it not as literally, how did Akiva, how did you, or someone over there said the word tashbisu before? Get rid of. That sounds like it's active. So it boils down to this. We know we have an isser to have chametz. What's the isser to have chametz? Bal yirah bal yimatzeh. So what is tashbisu exactly? Is it just another way of saying refrain from having chametz, and it's just using an asay language, but it's really the same thing? Or is it something else? Is it telling you that you have to seek and destroy your chametz? Tashbisu means get rid of your chametz. What does tashbisu mean? There could be many nafkaminis between them, and I'll tell you what some of them are as follows. My family is gluten-free family. We are a gluten-free family. Many of the members of my family have celiac, as you know. Hypothetically, we could go from Pesach to Pesach without having any chametz in our house. Is there a mitzvah to buy chametz in order to get rid of it? So the lav of bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Am I going to be over if I don't buy chametz? I have no chametz in my house. No. I go from Pesach to Pesach without chametz. That's 100% fine. But if there's a mitzvah to destroy chametz, then it could very well be that I have to have chametz to destroy it. I have to have chametz in order to destroy it. Just like, for example, there's a mitzvah of wearing tzitzis on your dalad kanfus. So what do? We buy a baguette of dalad kanfus, and we put on tzitzis. We want to make kayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. If I don't have a baguette of dalad kanfus, I have no mitzvah. If I don't have chametz, I won't have a mitzvah to burn it, but I won't be mekayim a mitzvah. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah, you have to own chametz, and you have to burn it. But if the mitzvah is just not have, so then I don't have. If this is to refrain from having chametz, I'm refraining. That would be one nafkamina. Another nafkamina. This is a nuance. This is my own, but I think it's simple that it's true. Should a person burn his chametz himself? Should a person, you know, before Pesach, you got a lot to do. Can you send your 8-year-old son to go burn the chametz? If there's a mitzvah to destroy the chametz, so what's our klal usually when it comes to mitzvahs? Mitzvah boy, yoiser mi b'shlucha. You should do a mitzvah yourself. Don't send someone else to do the mitzvah. So therefore, I should do it myself. Person's mekadesh and isha, mitzvah boy, yoiser mi b'shlucha. Person's going to burn chametz, mitzvah boy, yoiser mi b'shlucha. However, if the mitzvah is just to refrain from having chametz, the burning is not the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to burn the chametz. The mitzvah is to not have chametz. I don't care who cares who burns it. Who cares what it is? My mitzvah is just to not have the chametz. That would be another nafkamina. A third nafkamina. This one's a little bit more, you know, detailed. What?
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Correct. Now Bedika, I'll tell you in a second. Bedika is a mitzvah derabbanon, possibly. Maybe. So maybe that might, you know, change things. We're dealing with the deraisa, but you're right, Pashas. The second one is whether I should do the burning of the chametz myself. If the mitzvah is just the not having chametz, so then how I don't have chametz is not the mitzvah. So it doesn't make a difference who burns the chametz. I just have to make sure I don't have chametz. But if the mitzvah is the burning, then I'm doing the mitzvah of burning. Okay? There's another major nafkamina, which I'm going to get to at the end, because this one's going to be hard to wrap your head around a little bit. But another nafkamina is, are women mechuyev in the mitzvah of tashbisu? Let's try to figure this out. What are women not mechuyev in? Mitzvahs asei shazman groma. Now, is tashbisu a zman groma?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to establish, is it a mitzvah asei or is it a lois asei? Well, if the mitzvah is to actively burn, would you call that an asei or a lois asei? An asei. But if the mitzvah is to not have chametz or to decease, was that the word we used before? Refrain from having chametz, is that to do something or is that to not do something? It's more to not do. Don't have chametz. Refrain from chametz. That's not such a mitzvah saseh over there. That's already not so simple.
What category is
it? It's not lois saseh
either.
Yeah, so that's a hak, which he brings Shagas Ari and others, that the only time an isha is pater is from active, from doing things. So then she'll be pater. It's not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Again, a woman is only pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Mitzvahs that are active. This is a passive mitzvah. She's going to be chayiv. You're right, it's not Mrs. Lois saseh, but it's not Mrs. shazman grama. Therefore, perhaps she'll be chayiv. The last nafgamina is as follows. Does a person have to have kavana when he's burning his chametz? So you have to have kavana for the mitzvah. If you say that the mitzvah is the mice of burning, so then mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. But if it's a lois asei, what? It's a question if you make a bracha bechlal. That's what we're saying. There might be a mitzvah derabbanon of doing bedika. Maybe there is, that might depend if there's a bracha bechlal. Yosef Tzvi is saying good. Maybe the whole idea of the bracha might depend on that. This is the last nafkamina, my friends, and this is the heaviest one. When do you burn your chametz? This is a heavy nafkamina. Anyone want to give a shot? When do you burn your chametz? Have you said something? Before chatzos. Anyone want to say anything else?
That could be any time in Pesach.
What?
At
chatzos. If the mitzvah is to refrain from chametz, when do you have to refrain from chametz? By chatzos. Get rid of your chametz by chatzos. That would be like Avi was saying. But if the mitzvah is to actively burn your chametz, maybe your mitzvah is to burn your chametz at chatzos. So adarabba, you should keep chametz till 12 o'clock and then burn your chametz at 12 o'clock.
But till after.
To be mekayim your mitzvah's chametz, your mitzvah of tashbisu. You have to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu.
What?
Let me ask you a question. Pardon this perhaps off-colored mashal, but if a person gets drunk before Purim, is he mekayim the mitzvah of chayiv inish lebesumi bepuria adelo yoda? What? No, but he only gets drunk before. He doesn't get drunk on. He gets drunk before. Was he mekayim the mitzvah? No. The mitzvah is to get drunk on Purim. A person burns his chametz before the zman. Let's see,
the mitzvah tashbisu is just to not have it on Pesach. You have to get rid of it. You get rid of it a month or all your chametz a month before Pesach. Why does that have to be at Pesach?
Because what's the zman of the mitzvah? If the mitzvah is just to refrain, so there's a deadline when to refrain. But if the mitzvah is to be mekayim, if I burn my chametz 3 weeks before, I was mekayim my mitzvah. What's the zman of the mitzvah? It has to be the zman of the mitzvah. So there is hak that maybe the zman of the mitzvah is on that day, on the 14th. It's the beginning of the day. Anytime on the 14th, you can be on the mitzvah. But I could hear what Gabi was suggesting. Was you, right? Who said it? What Gabi was suggesting, that you have to wait until, and I have a diuk in the Mishnah, by the way. The Mishnah in Pesachim sounds like Gabi. Listen to the lashon of the Mishnah. Anyone have a Mishnayis here? It would be easier for me to do it if I have a Mishnayis. Listen to the language of the Mishnah. If there's a Mishnah here, that'll help. If not, I could probably find it. It's in the second parak, I think. I think it's the beginning of the second parak. Let's see what we have. Let me see. Gabi, let's see if you can find the Mishnah that supports this.
Where would it be? Beginning, middle, or end?
It's in the first or second parak. I know that. I'm just... Might be in the end of the first parak. The Mishnah says... Yeah, where is it? Yud Aleph, thank you. Take a look at the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph on the base. It might be there. That's good. And that's great. Remeir Oimer, Oichlin Kol Chamesh, V'sarfin Tchila Sheish. What does it mean? Sarfin Tchila Sheish. You burn it in the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yudah Oichlin Kol Arba, Toichlin Kol Chamesh, V'sarfin Tchila Sheish. Here. What does hischilu kol am sarfin mean? So when they start burning, I got it, we're good, we got it. We don't need the Mishnahs, we have Rabbi Sandberg. Hischilu kol am sarfin. That's when they started burning. I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, they start burning at like, I mean, we got pyromaniacs. They start at like, 7 o'clock in the morning. They're ready, they're ready at it. Hischilu kol am sarfin. Why only hischilu? Because up until then, you're not mechayim the mitzvah. The mitzvah is tchilas sheish.
Tchilas sheish is supposed?
Yeah.
Don't you do beto after you do
chatzos is tchilas, right? Right? Or is it Tchil Sheva? Yeah. No, right. It says like this. It says, so Rashi says it's the beginning of the, that's not, it's an hour before Chatzos. But Rashi says, the Chachomer Goyzer, Dilma Toy, Vesavar Ad Shviz. Chachomer Goyzer. But Sarf and Tchilas Sheish, which is because we're afraid Sheish and Sheva are going to get confused. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you do Betel after you burn? So what would be the point if you do it, if you burn by Chatzos, to do Betel afterwards? There's no Mitzvah anymore to do Betel.
No, you can't do Betel afterwards.
Don't you say something after you burn?
Like, yeah. But they do it before. The Maisa, we do it before. But there are those, I think I saw in the Mordechai, I'd have to find it. The Mordechai says, you have to save one piece of chametz to burn after Ad Sheva. Even though, Marban, they said move up to Sheish, save one piece of chametz and burn it after Chatzos. Because the Chayri is understanding the mitzvah is Tashbisu, the Yeraisa is, so Midrabban, they moved it forward. I would have said, you burn it whenever you burn it. This is going to be a big debate and a big discussion. It could very well be, by the way, it might be a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. See if anyone knows what I'm referring to. It might very well be a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim of whether or not the mitzvah of Tashbisu is kum va'aseh or shev va'al taseh. What's the machlokas Reb Yehuda and the Chacham? The most famous machlokas in Maseches Pesachim. What? Machlokas is Reb Yehuda says Ein Bir Chametz Ella Sreifa. Reb Yehuda says you have to get rid of your chametz through burning, and the Chacham say Af Mefar V'Zor L'Ruach. You can get rid of whatever you want. Matzah Liyam. You could throw it into the sea. You could crumble it up. You could burn it. You could do whatever you want. Now, if the mitzvah is just to not have chametz, refrain from having chametz, does it make sense that they're telling you how to refrain from having chametz? No. I don't care if you don't have chametz this way, you don't have chametz that way. All I know is it's time for the chametz to go. Get rid of the chametz. Has to leave. It could leave by car. It could leave by train. It just has to leave. We don't care how the chametz goes. If there's a mitzvah of destroying the chametz, then I could say, okay, how am I supposed to destroy it? Destroy it this way, not that way. But if the whole mitzvah is a shev ba'al taseh, the whole way that you're, the whole mitzvah is just to refrain from not having. As a matter of fact, if I went an entire year with having chametz, I would be mekayim the mitzvah. So then how could you tell me how to get rid of it?
You can ask that question also by the beginning of the Mishnah, like the Dikav, it says how to check for it.
True. So over here, there's a din d'rabbanan. That's why I was telling Avi before. Yeah. The Maze is a special din d'rabbanan of how to do that. That could be the Chacham gave certain instructions, which is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe. Maybe.
You could still fit it in to say that Rameir would hold that. I mean,
Rabbi Huda.
Rabbi Huda would hold that, what's called? That actively destroying is still, he still holds that it's active, because I just don't hold that you have to destroy it in a certain way. It just has to be destroyed.
Oh, the other way around. You mean the Chachamim. Yes. What Moshe is pointing out properly is it's possible that the Chacham also hold that there's a mitzvah of getting rid of. They just say you could be mekayim your mitzvah anyway. But Reb Yehuda for sure holds that the mitzvah is tashbisu. So all I'm saying is that those that want to say the mitzvah is only sheval tasa can only say in the chacham. You are correct. Okay, everybody, so let's just do a little bit more, and then we'll call it a day. A lot of hack today. We're hacking it out. We're just like trying to open things up. Happens to be, it's a very, very lamdisha mesechta psachim. Very lamdisha perik. The Dvar Shmuel. The Dvar Shmuel is an Achron. I think he only has a Pirish on Pesachim, if I'm not mistaken. And he is considered to be like one of the authorities on Pesachim. Hopefully he'll be able to do a lot of it. But the Dvar Shmuel is famous for his Pirish on Pesachim, Sefer on Pesachim. He's an Achron. So he brings down a Machloikas Rishonim in the following thing. Is a person over Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze on Chometz that he doesn't know about? Now, many of the Chakiras we're going to say are going to eventually overlap and get and be connected to each other, but right now we're just trying to send things out, food for thought. Person doesn't know about chametz. Is he over on Bal Yiro or Bal Yimotze? He says it's a machlekes between the Ran and the Marashal. Bechametz she'eino yoidua. The Marashal, the Ran says he's over. The Ran's soiver, but that's Rashi. Chometz sheni yoduva, you're over on Isser Torah.
Even if the guy actively want to check.
So that we'll have to see. And this is where it gets a big discussion. Well, you know, eventually it's phallus. What would you say? Person checks his cauliflower for bugs, or his broccoli. I don't know if you know this. But broccoli and cauliflower are often infested with bugs. Strawberries are often infested with bugs. A person checks it for bugs, doesn't find any, and eats it. And there was a bug there. Would you say he was over on an isser? Bishoygeg? Einus, you could use whatever, you know, description of the excuse you want. But the fact is he was over. Or would you say, look, he did his bedika, he's not over anything.
He's over.
What would you say?
Of course he's over.
Did his shtapos.
Ate a bug.
You'd say he's not over.
Yeah, of course he's over.
He ate a bug.
So, for sure he's over. Halacha is, he's over. As a matter of fact, what happens if someone has a strawberry and has a hechsher on it? Big chashiv hechsher, good, you know, Jewish words. It even says mahadrin mina, all that jazz. And then you eat a bug. Were you over? Bishoy geig or not?
Yes.
You were? You were. You were Oyver. You did an Avera. B'shoigeg. You did it by accident. But you were Oyver on an Avera. The fact is you ate a bug. You ate a bug. If you remember, there was a massive, massive a scandal in Muncie where this Hamish butcher was giving people tarfus. And the people were fasting and doing all different types of tshuvas. There was a hechsher. What did they do wrong? Okay, the hechsher today till tomorrow. Fact is, they ate tarfus for years. Hashem Yirachem.
Getting a beer for that?
B'shoigeg. It's b'shoigeg.
The chometz you're bittul,
right? We're not doing bittul. What? You're getting an avera, but it's a much lower. Whatever that means, you have to bring a carbon. It's not to bring a carbon for a shoigeg. Whatever it might mean. Now, what about a person does bedikas chometz on his house? Here is a machloekas rishonim, and we have to understand why. But here, the machloekas rishonim is a person did bedikah and he missed chametz. Now, I'm not talking about a teeny little crumb, which is probably bitulet. He missed like a gazunte, right? So it's a machloekas rishonim whether or not he was over on Bali Rabbi Matzeh. For sure, if he's over, he's only over b'shoigeg, right? But was he over? Machloekas Ran and the Marashal. The Ran says it's the same as bedikas toilaim. You checked for bugs. You didn't find, they were bugs, you were over. You checked for chametz, you didn't find, they were there, you're over. You don't know about it? Okay, you didn't know about it, you're still over. However, the Marashal comes along and says, no, you're not over. Chametz she'eino yedua, you're not over. Oh, Shaila is why. So this, the Dvar Shmuel himself gives, you know, perhaps a hesber in the machlekes between the Ran and as in the taich in the world bal yimotze. What does bal yimotze mean? I'll leave that for tonight. But right now, I just want to discuss a kasha from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says boitkin, right? He brings a question from the Sefer Or Chadash. How can the Marashal say you're not over on chametz she'eino yedua? What does it say boitkin? Why do you do bedika? Why do you do bedika? So you shouldn't be over on Bayu Abayu Matzeh. If you don't do bedika, you're over on Bayu Abayu Matzeh. What do I see? Chametz you don't know about, you're over on Bayu Abayu Matzeh. This is black and white. The first Rashi, right here.
That's only if you didn't do bedika.
What? Okay, but he owes chametz she'eino yedua, you're not over on. Okay, so Zug. Oh, so let me say it like this. This is not his teretz, but I think this is perhaps the Pashup Shad as well. If a person eats cauliflower without checking for bugs, would you say he's over b'shoigeg? I don't think so. Come on, buddy. You know there's bugs in cauliflower. Now, nowadays, practically everyone eats washed. The cauliflower you get here is going to be bodek. The word bodek means checked, right? It's checked. For sure, there are things that are like totally infested with bugs. You're going to eat it, kale. Kale is infested with bugs. The person eats kale. That's not called a shaygig. That's called an idiot. It's called, you know, machzach nish visendik. He's like, oh, I don't know. You know you're going to have chametz in your house. So then it's almost as if you're like, you know, you're closing your eyes. You're trying to not know. That's not called chametz she'eino yedua. That's what I understand from Yosef Tzvi and from Akiva. Chometz she'eino yedua means, how should I have known? I was oblivious, not ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. If you know there's probably chometz in your house, so then you have to check. That's not called chometz she'eino yedua. Chometz she'eino yedua is chometz that I had no way of knowing. The chometz would have been there. How was I supposed to know someone was going to take chometz and put it in the washing machine? Who puts chometz in the washing machine? Maybe even according to Rashi, according to this pshat of the Marashal, that says you're not over on chometz she'eino yedua, that's only chometz that I have no reason to suspect it's there. Even then, when it comes to bedikas toilaim, you're still going to be over if you had no reason to assume. A person eats bodek, and there's a bug there, even though it's bodek, he's still Iver. That's why Reb Chaim Pitzchak Scheinberg didn't eat vegetables. He never ate vegetables because he was always afraid there was going to be a bug. But what you can do to avoid the problem, and I think he did this, if you blend your vegetables, you won't be Iver.
You drank more?
What?
You drank more?
What did you say? No, because it's not a berry. Yeah, it's not a berry anymore. The problem is when you have a complete bug. So that's why, for example, kale. People, my wife eats kale in shakes because once you grind, once you put it in the blender, it's going to be buttle. It's anyway, it's too small. Well, if you would know that there's a bug, you can't put it in. But if you don't know, then you're allowed to do it. Yeah, that's enough. You can do it. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm going to give you a Dvar Torah, I guess, on this week's Parsha. Today's Thursday, right? I'll try to give you something on the Parsha. Bez Hashem, B'li Nether. Sunday, we're going to work on the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. We can spend a couple of days here. Is there a Chumash available? Accessible?
I don't know.
You're looking for a Vayikra.
No.
Probably no Vayikra.
I'm left. All in the
base measures. Right there. We got one.
Thank you. Okay, everybody's saying, I tell you, it's Dvar Torah. It still needs a little bit of work, in my opinion, but the message, I think, is a powerful message. Isha ki sazria, yolda zachar v'tama shivas yomin. A woman has a child. She has a boy. She becomes tame for 7 days. I saw this vart a long, long time ago, more than 15 years ago. So I just remember it was before we opened the yeshiva 50 years ago. It had a powerful impression upon me. Tuma is always synonymous with death. We think about tuma, we think about death, we think about tamei meis, right? Something that didn't come to fruition. Like Anida, the pshat in Anida is that she didn't have a child. Right? It's a cycle. There was an opportunity for like birth, and it didn't happen. So there's tuma, you know, a dead animal, a dead person. It's always with like, you know, with like a void of kedusha. Why, when a woman has a child, is there tuma? This is the opposite of void. This is when there's its fulfillment. This is where it actually was. It was successful. The woman was able to conceive. Why isha ki sazria? The old zara shitame shivas yamin. Shitame. So I'm telling you a vart without a source. Otherwise, if you could find the source, I would be very appreciative. So the pshat is as follows. It's true there's a child born in this world. It's true. And that's beautiful. But what can the child do? What is the child accomplishing? There's a child. He has the capability of doing so much. He has the potential. But he's not accomplishing anything right now. He's a big void. Because nothing's come of him. So we want to celebrate a birth, but a birth that has not given us any productivity has an element of tumah to it. So, Baruch Hashem, now we have opportunity. But what's opportunity that doesn't actualize? It's a void. That's tumah. So the Torah is in a certain way trying to put us in the right perspective. I saw Moshe Feinstein says something similar. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Torah doesn't even say that he was born to his parents. It just says there was an Ish, Beis Levi, an Isha, they had a child. It doesn't say anything about who it was, Amram, Yocheved, nothing. Later, many parshas later, when Moshe Rabbeinu was already an adult, there it says it was Amram, Yocheved, Moshe. He says, because you got a child born. He's Noilad Mohol. Bais Nismala Or. He's going, wow, look at this kid. He's going to be amazing. He's going to be the future. He's everything. Okay, nothing happened. So we're not giving you credit. You don't get credit with Amram and Yocheved, because Moshe Rabbeinu is still just one large lump of potential. And potential is tuma. Potential is tuma. When Moshe Rabbeinu becomes who he becomes, Moshe Rabbeinu actually, you know, he fulfills that. Then already now we could say, wow, Amram, Yocheved. We could praise them for their child. So, Ezer Hashem, we're starting off as man. And, you know, the Olam has she'ifas, the Olam has goals, the Olam is excited, the Olam is committed. But we're going to have to, like, make it happen. Because right now, it's just a void. Ezer Hashem, with Siyat Yishmael, it's a great time.